Welcome to Clifton Health on Air.
I'm your host, Lauren.
And I am today's co-host, Lael Helwani. I am filling in for Danielle Jones, who for today's podcast is the interviewee. Yes.
And I'd just like to add in, this is a local health department podcast where we also service the township of Little Falls, and we are located 12 miles west of New York City. Lael, take it away.
All right. Thank you. I want to thank Danielle and Jennifer Kidd for participating in today's podcast.
So the tables have turned. The host becomes the interviewee.
Yes, the interviewee.
Thank you for filling in.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to have you.
We're very excited to finally be here.
Yes, is a long-awaited episode because
it certainly has been.
Back in November of 2023, we made history here at the Clifton Health Department, and we're going to elaborate on that. This episode is all about national accreditation.
Yes, and I just want to say congratulations again, and thank you both for your leadership during the accreditation process. I know it was a very long, tedious, sometimes draining process.
Well, thank you, ladies, for all of your help. It was definitely a team effort, and we could not have done it without you. Yes. So,
and thank you, Jen, for leading the way.
Yes,
Danielle,
and paving the way for us.
If it wasn't for Danielle coming on board after the pandemic, we may still not be accredited at this point.
Definitely a team effort.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
And so, I just wanted to start by asking, for individuals who don't know, what is the purpose of accreditation?
So the purpose of public health accreditation is to improve quality, accountability, and performance of health departments. We are accredited by the Public Health Accreditation Board, which is the national accrediting organization for public health departments here in the United States.
But we're just going to touch upon how the process went. Back in, you guys started in 2018, is that right, Jen?
Yes, we started in 2018 with our community health assessment.
Correct.
Yes.
And so in order to pursue FAB accreditation, we do have to have a CHA, a community health assessment, which we call a CHA, and a community health improvement plan in process before.
Yeah, before you apply, you have to have those two plans amongst some other plans completed before you can actually submit your application. So yes, so we began this journey all the way back in 2015, getting our plans and policies and standard operating procedures in place. And then we decided in 2017 that we wanted to conduct our own community health assessment so that we could obtain municipal level data, because oftentimes we have been lumped in with county and statewide data,
right?
And we wanted to get
more
local data.
So in around 2016, you guys were involved in the Passaic County coalition?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've been part of that coalition for quite some time. So we conducted the CHA in 2018, published it in 2019, and we developed our community health improvement plan. And in the summer of 2019, we actually submitted our application to FAB for public health accreditation. We began the process of getting more of our plans into place and all of our paperwork and our documentation to be sent over to FAB. And then the pandemic hit in early 2020.
Yeah.
And so our efforts towards national accreditation had to be put on the back burner due to the pandemic, because it was an all hands-on deck
approach
here
at
the health department with case investigation, contact tracing, and then vaccine administration when the vaccine became available. So we lost a good 16 to 18 months of our accreditation work, and we resumed work on accreditation in July of 2021. Yeah, it was 2021. And that's when Danielle came on board, and I was overjoyed to have someone to share this process with. It's quite labor intensive. A lot of work, a lot of time that goes into it. So, and then We worked vigorously on getting our documentation, all of our ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. And in 2022, mm-hmm. September of 2022, mm-hmm. we submitted all of our documentation to FAB.
Yeah, and we celebrated.
I do remember that.
Yes.
We definitely celebrated uploading our 100th document.
Yes.
And that was a really exciting achievement because mm-hmm. we've uploaded all of the documentation that they required. And then back in February of 2023, they provided us with some documentation that we had to re-upload, which we fixed. Mm-hmm. And then we worked on that. And then we submitted that in March. Did we have a few months?
I think had a few months to do that.
Okay.
And then they scheduled us for our site visit.
Yes.
And our site visit was scheduled for September of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our accreditation specialist from FAB came to visit us, along with a volunteer site visitor who happened to be a retired health director in another health department in another state. And they did an on-site visit with us, which went really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 8 weeks later, mm-hmm. we found out that we became nationally accredited. And here we are.
Very exciting. And only
sixth in the state.
To be accredited. And first in Passaic County.
Yep.
So we're going to toot that horn as much as we can.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Sure. All in all, about how many documents were uploaded? This was hundreds of documents, correct?
Hundreds.
So there were 100 measures. Mm-hmm. So we have to meet nationally accepted standards of measure. And there were about 100 measures that we had to show that we were meeting. And we're thinking 700 to 800 wow. different documents.
Yeah, 'cause each measure or standard of measure had a different, let's say if it had one example or two examples, it also had pages and pages of uploaded work that we had to...
Thousands of pages
got uploaded. Yeah.
That's great. And I know that not every health department chooses to go through the accreditation process. Why do you think accreditation was so important for us to kind of pursue? And how do you think it makes us a better health department?
So I think John, our health officer, wanted to pursue accreditation because I think it shows the public and our policymakers and our stakeholders that we are meeting or exceeding standards that are set against nationally recognized, practice-focused, and evidence-based standards at the national level. And I think that helps to build a level of trust. It makes us more credible. I think it also shows accountability on
Absolutely.
Our part, accountability mm-hmm. of our staff, and also transparency
yeah.
to the public.
And I also think within the staff, it also provides them with specific, we have quality improvement. We have like goals that we have to meet mm-hmm. as our own employee goals, and then we have our department-wide goals. So it's just generally keeping track of everyone's focus, I would
yeah.
say. It kind of makes everyone's focus kind of clear and focus on, like, the community and bettering mm-hmm. the community.
And we're working towards something.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Like
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And accreditation is just helped us to create that culture of quality improvement in the department and a culture of performance improvement. We mm-hmm. are continuously analyzing and looking at what we're doing and how we can do things more effectively and more efficiently. And I think it also has us, everything that we try to implement is either evidence-based or a promising practice, and so that we know that these standards and measures that are peer-reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes us a stronger health department. It has also strengthened our infrastructure as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our workforce development,
yes.
like Danielle was talking about, in mm-hmm. terms of setting goals, acquiring continuing education credits, and it just makes us a stronger, better health department.
Yeah,
it really does.
I mean, since I started in 2016, I Like, I can see the changes and how we have grown and have become a better health department. You know,
yeah.
I've really appreciated the quality improvement process.
Yeah.
And honestly, having gone through a lot of accreditation prior to 2020, I think that really helped the department with our COVID-19 response.
Right.
Just Absolutely. Having that in the back of our minds. Mm-hmm. Because we meet on a monthly basis, all of the divisions within the health department, to work on quality improvement. And we have quality improvement projects that are going on simultaneously throughout the department every single year. We have a quality improvement plan. Mm-hmm. And I think that having that established in the department really, I think, helped us in getting through the pandemic, really did, and our response to the pandemic.
Thank you for that. Now, what sorts of impacts would you say that accreditation has on our community and our residents?
I think,
yeah, go ahead.
Like what Jen said, we are always looking for evidence-based mm-hmm. Programs. We're always looking for promising practice programs. So we're always reaching out to our residents and giving them the best.
Right, so providing more quality services and programs to our residents.
Yeah, highest quality possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I think accreditation really ensures that. Mm-hmm. It also gives a push towards innovation. We've become a much more innovative health department since working on accreditation. For example, this awesome podcast that Danielle and Lauren started this past year. You know, if it wasn't for accreditation, we may not have done something like this, but... FAB really encourages new innovative ideas and just another benefit that accreditation has brought to our department, to the city mm-hmm. as a whole, really.
Yeah, to the entire community, mm-hmm, really.
Right. Not every health department has a podcast.
No, not every health department has a podcast. And not every health department has a specific community health assessment.
You're right.
Which is... We developed that community health assessment, and then we ultimately, in 2022, opened our satellite office.
Yeah.
So based on that data, we also can offer more programs mm-hmm. and services down at our satellite office.
And I think the residents really love that they were included in that quality. I mean, not the quality improvement, but the community health assessment process.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right? Through the surveys, through the focus groups, the key informant interviews. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of another benefit. Like, we're really considering the community's feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And determining, like, what our priorities should be.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oftentimes, you do these assessments and they sit on a shelf.
Right.
You know, we were just ecstatic when we realized that it was our community health assessment that was ultimately responsible for the opening of the satellite mm-hmm. office.
Down in the 07011 zip code that was found to have...
Some health challenges.
Yeah.
Disparities.
Mm-hmm. Disparities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another amazing thing that accreditation has done for our office is that it's taught us really to use a health equity lens mm-hmm. when we look at data and when we look at the community. And we want to make sure that our services and programs mm-hmm. Are equitable and available to all. Throughout the community, regardless of someone's status, where they live, or
what language they speak.
Right, mm-hmm. what language they speak. So mm-hmm. it's really important.
That's a good point. Can you, were there any challenges? I'm sure there were. Were there any challenges that you'd like to talk about?
2020, pandemic.
Besides the pandemic.
That.
Yeah.
There was some challenges.
There were challenges. You know, it's a rigorous process. Standards are pretty high. If something was not exactly how FAB wanted a particular document or piece of evidence, it would be sent back and we'd have mm-hmm. to redo it. So those were tough days. Some of the plans were challenging. Our public health all hazards response plan, I believe, is over 900 pages long. So that was a really significant plan that
intense.
We worked on, very intense. You know, again, thank God for other people in the office who are experts in other areas mm-hmm. like emergency preparedness that could help us, you know, with plans and documents like that. I mean, you have to definitely put aside a lot of time and devote a lot of time as the accreditation coordinators to this process.
Yeah.
It really was the bulk of our work for quite some time, over like a 2-year span.
Right. So it was working on this in addition to other day-to-day responsibilities, grants and whatnot.
Exactly, yeah.
So I give you ladies a lot of credit.
And we give all our the staff who helped us during this.
A lot of people stepped up.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
it was amazing to see the teamwork. Mm-hmm.
It was definitely amazing to see the teamwork, everyone coming together, and everyone, especially at the site visit or the site visit, the mock trials, things like that, what we did to prepare.
Yeah.
I hosted a study group with all of the divisions.
Yeah.
They didn't want to come. Like,
oh
that
gosh.
Was a challenge in itself. But some people came and they opened their binders.
It was beneficial.
And it worked.
It was good practice.
Yes.
In the end.
It was really helpful.
It was very helpful. So I give immense gratitude to the staff here and to all of you sitting around this table, for sure.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Likewise. So what's next now that we're accredited? What
happens
now?
What's next?
So we would like to maintain our accreditation status over the next 5 years with FAB. So we are required to submit what they call maintenance documentation to FAB on a yearly basis, kind of like progress reports, and to show that we are continuously improving and still working towards being, you know, the best health department that we can be. And then in 2028, we become eligible to become reaccredited to get that accreditation status again. So we are just going to continue to work on everything, every plan, every policy, every program has to be updated on a regular basis and looked at and reviewed and revised. And, you know, everything is about quality improvement. We do that plan, do, check, act.
Yes.
And, you know, just make sure that we are providing the residents of both Clifton and Little Falls with very high quality public health services.
Yeah, and we're also embarking on our 2023 community health assessment. So we did already completed a community voice survey. Mm-hmm. We completed our focus groups and our key informant interviews. And so we are in the process of doing some data collection on that end. So we should have that by the end of
the end of the summer.
Yeah.
So CHOS should probably be published later this summer.
And thank you to all of our residents who participated in that process, because
absolutely.
It's really important to have your voice heard.
It really is. Like we talked about in a previous episode, community engagement. You know, it's an excellent example of community engagement.
It really is.
And just emphasizing that people's voices are important, especially for processes like this.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
But I want to thank Danielle again and Jen Kidd for coming on today to talk about accreditation
and
some of the challenges
and
the purpose.
Thank you so much. Wonderful co-host.
Yeah, we're so glad to be on the podcast.
Not as good as Danielle and Lauren. Not as good, but
that's fantastic.
Stepping in. So if any residents want to access the previous community health assessment, that's available on our website, cliftonnj.org.
Yes.
On the health department website. So
you
can feel free to take a look. And it'll be interesting to see what the results show for this coming community health assessment.
Yes. Definitely.
And what our plan of action will be for the community health improvement plan.
Yeah. And we'll have the link in the description of this podcast episode if you would like to tune in or see our CHA or our CHIP.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Tune in to our podcast every other Monday for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?